If you have your Bible with you, please be turning to Psalm 121 this morning. When I was asked a couple weeks ago to do the exhortation from the Psalm, there was something that kept coming to my mind as I was praying about this, and something I see in my own life, in my own heart, and David has already alluded to that this morning, is coming here with our hearts prepared for worship. And I see that in my own life so much. And I've listened to several different sermons and read different articles about this psalm. So a lot of my points and applications are coming from that, from the help of those tools. Two different teachers said that this psalm, these eight verses, are into four couplets. Verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, verse 5 and 6, verse 7 and 8. And they both label them pretty much the same thing, but in different terms. And before we read this psalm, I'd like for you to remember these. One, God is our helper, verses 1 and 2, He saves us. Verses 3 and 4, God as keeper, He steadies us. Verses 5 and 6, God as protector, He shelters us. Verses 7 and 8, God as preserver, He safeguards us from all evil. As we read Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and evermore. And as I was praying about that, about our hearts being prepared for worship, I was thinking, what psalm could I possibly do? And I felt drawn to the Song of Ascents because these songs were being sung as they were ascending the mountains to the Temple Mount to prepare for worship. And I didn't know no better, but I got on Google Earth because I heard from one teacher that it's about a 3,400-foot climb from Jericho to Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. And it's just barren. I mean, just barren desert. So as they were making this ascent, you have to think about carrying enough provisions to go on your way and back. There would be elderly with you. There would be children. There would be women pregnant. And not only that, when they were looking to the mountains, they were thinking, you know, there's robbers here. And we refer to the parable of a good Samaritan where he fell among robbers. They stripped him and they beat him. So they would be thinking about that, all these things. And they look to the hills. They say, I lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And that's my thought this morning, that it ultimately boils down to our help comes from the Lord as we try to prepare our hearts for worship. And I was thinking, as not only preparing our hearts from the day before or the morning coming, but from the moment we leave on Sunday afternoon, preparing our hearts all week long. And I realize how hard that is, because things will come against us throughout the week. And I want to share some things with you that one pastor teacher brought out. That God not only provides the help, He is the help. And he says that God is not against us as we ascend to His presence. He uses these three metaphors for this psalm. One, the physical journey to the place of worship. Two, the spiritual journey to the presence of God. And three, the overall spiritual journey getting from the here and now to the there and then, as we journey from here to the celestial city. And he uses this. He says, God is not against us. He says, you get up in the morning and stuff doesn't go right on the day that you're getting ready to come here to worship. Is your immediate thought, God is for me? Oh, these little obstacles. God bless you, little one, for not wanting to get your clothes on. God is just so good. Thank you, wife. Thank you, husband, for taking so long to get prepared. God is for me today. Oh, wonderful Knoxville traffic. Praise the Lord for you today. Oh, car out of gas. And I experienced this morning. Oh, car out of gas. You should have screamed at me yesterday. Now your little blinky light is long, and I'm trying to wonder if I got time or enough gas to get to the place of worship. Hallelujah. How easy things can come against us and steal us of our joy when we were coming to the place of worship. And I want to use an example that happened to me just this week. Right after we had a wonderful time of worship last Sunday, I get up Sunday morning, the alarm clock goes off, and it's, ugh. So, strike one. I didn't wake up with the joy in my heart of saying, I get to go to my job for the glory of God today. I get to work. It's about a 30-minute drive from my job to where I work. I park my vehicle, and my tractor that I drive is on the other side of the parking lot, way across in the backfield. So I'm halfway through the warehouse, and I realize my truck is locked up, and my key is at home. So I'm going to have to drive 30 minutes back home to get my key. So strike two, strike three, right there. And just how easily that can happen. And it's hard to keep our focus on the promises that God has for us. I'm going to read another point that he brought out. Coming before God today as worshipers of God, starting at our homes and moving toward this place, coming into the parking lot and walking into this place where we are going to say things that we know and believe to be true about God, every one of us comes in here unclean and unworthy. Every one of us comes in here a liar. Every one of us comes in here a thief, an adulterer. Every one of us. We walk in this place and we are not inherently worthy in and of ourselves to worship a holy and righteous God. And it ought to dawn on us, on every one of us, every time we come before God for worship, it ought to dawn on us. I look and I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? In other words, I can't conquer this hill by myself. I can't get to a place where I'm worthy to worship Almighty God by myself. My help must come from somewhere. And that was my thought this week, that in and of ourselves, we will never come here feeling like we are worthy enough to worship God, but that our thoughts would be on the promises that He has placed for us, that as we, His people, He has these promises. And as David mentioned earlier, to bring these to resonate in our heart. Read one more quote, then I will finish, from John Calvin regarding this psalm. The cold of night and the heat of day denoting all kind of inconveniences. The sense then is that, although God's people may be subject in common with others to the miseries of human life, yet His shadow is always at their side to shield them from thereby receiving any harm. The prophet does not, however, promise the faithful a condition of such felicity and comfort as implies exemption from all trouble. He only, for the purpose of assuaging their sorrows, sets before them this consolation, that being interested in the divine layout, they shall be secure from all deadly harm. So my exhortation for us this morning is that as we go throughout our week, let's remember these promises that God has laid out for His children and prepare our hearts for worship.